Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Sister Billy is back with us again today.
Welcome. Victory, victory. That's our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
That's right. You know, I was a cheerleader.
I know you were. I'm not telling the team
you're rooting for. Don't tell the team I've cheered
can't,
for.
Because,
okay, Billy's back. Hallelujah.
But praise the Lord, victory over lies, you know, error.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a victory.
That is.
When you come into the truth, it was a victory for
Revelation.
Me to found out that I could obey God and answer the call that I knew was on my life in my spirit. He called my spirit, soul, and body. We have been looking at the Word of God and this scripture that kept our denomination from saying women could preach and lots of people, other people. In 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Well, we know now, and we've gone into it, and you can go into the archives and listen to the days that we've done this week. That was a question that had been written in a letter to Paul. It's part of something called responsa. That's where the Jews would write in and ask a question, how do you walk out this religion that we have? And the rabbis would send them back an answer. We know that is their question. And what is Paul's answer to that? Here's his answer, verse 36. What? Came the word of God out from you only, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. So, how do we know that that's their question? When we're rightly dividing this responsa, because it's not truth. It's not the truth of the Word. The question that they sent in was, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And of course, it's not church, it's the assembly. They didn't have a church back in the Old Testament. And that's the Bible they're talking about. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, or the Torah, or the Word of God. So how do we know that's not Paul's idea, and that's not God's Word? Because the women were not commanded to be silent. And they spoke a lot in the Old Testament. And we went yesterday into this thing in the garden where a seed was promised. When a woman turned and told God what had happened, and then God turned and he said to Satan, he immediately cursed Satan, and he said, I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, we know that women are not the ones with seed. That's the man. Mm-hmm. But here God is foretelling a supernatural birth. And, of course, it's going to be God's seed planted into the woman. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this seed that's coming, we find the promised seed all through the old. It's under Tamar, or Tamar. And it should be right here, Gloria. Huh. Bless the Lord, I know I gave you one. There's Deborah. Where is Tamar? Tamar, by the way, here is Tamar. Tamar is the Hebrew word for date. So this woman is named, like they do often over there, they name you for a flower or they name you for a fruit. And so her name is Tamar, and she is a very misunderstood woman in the Bible. But we're going to look today at what really happened.
Okay.
God promised a seed, and that seed, it's a promised seed all through the Old Testament. God watched over that seed, that heritage that's going to end up to be the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Anointed One, Jesus. So it is. We see prophecy come. Everything has to be prophesied, prayed and prophesied. So God gets his word in the earth and then he clothes it. So God reveals that this seed, you remember that Jacob had 12 sons and they're the 12 tribes of Israel. And God reveals which son the seed is going to come through. Genesis 49:1. And Jacob said unto his sons, gather yourselves and I will tell you what shall befall you in the latter days, the end of days. Jacob's about to die. Assemble yourselves, and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now he comes to the fourth son, whose name is Judah, and that name means praise. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter, that's the rule, shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. To him shall be the obedience of the people. He ties his foal to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. All of that has to do with the coming Messiah. And he's going to come down through Judah. But Satan heard that. He heard those words. So he's going to go after Judah. Mm-hmm. And he's going to go after the seed of Judah. Judah was about to die childless with a continuing seed. He had children, but they all died. He was about to die childless without any progeny. And here the word of God has said that the seed is going to come from Judah. But something happened, and God, through a woman named Tamar, his word was able to work. And most people judge Tamar, call her a harlot, but actually, because of what she did, she's called righteous. Genesis 38:6, the middle of page 2. Now Judah took a wife for his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord took his life. Then Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and perform your duty as a brother-in-law to her and raise up offspring for your brother. That's the way they did. If a brother died and he didn't have any children, then the next brother is to marry her. There is the most darling little movie. You would love it. What? It's on the Hallmark Channel, and it's called Loving Leah, L-E-A-H. And it's about this tradition of the marrying the brother's wife.
Interesting. I'll watch.
You'll love it. Then Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife, perform your duty as a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother. Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. What he did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord took his life also. Then first two sons are dead. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, I am afraid that he too may die like his brothers. So Tamar went and lived in her father's house. Now this is a little boy. Here she is up here, this woman. She's supposed to wait till this little boy grows up. But really, Judah said he's afraid he'll die too, so he's not going to give him to her. Then Judah, now Genesis 38:12, after a considerable time, Shua's daughter, the wife of Judah, died. And when the time of mourning was ended, Judah's wife died, the mother of his older sons. When the time of mourning was ended, Judah went to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. So his wife died, he goes out to the sheep, they're shearing the sheep. It was told to Tamar, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she removed her widow's garments, and she covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in the gateway on the road to Timnah. For Shelah had grown up, and he was not given to her. So when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, for she had covered her face. So he turned aside to her by the road and said, here now, let me come in to you. For he did not know she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what will you give me that you may come in to me? And he said, I will give you a young goat from the flock. She said, will you give a pledge until you send it?
I'm glad things are changed.
So he said, what pledge shall I give you? And she said, your seal and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. So he gave them to her, and she went into her. He went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose, departed, and removed her veil, and put on her widow's garments. Now, about 3 months later, down to verse 24, it was told to Judah, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar has played the harlot, and behold, she's with child by harlotry." Then Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned. Let's burn her alive." It was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law saying, "I'm with child by the man to whom these belong. Please examine and see whose signet ring and cords and staff are these," the pledge that she had asked him for. Judah recognized them, and Judah said, here's the statement, "She is more righteous than I, inasmuch as I did not give her my son Shelah." He had no more weapons with her, but she gave birth.
No more relations.
No more relations with her. And then there were twins in her room, in her womb, and one of them came out named Perez, and then he was in the lineage of the seed. So it was about to happen that what had been prophesied, that the seed would come of Judah, there weren't going to be any seed. But because of Tamar and what she did, there came seed. And it's really interesting to study in the Bible that seed, where it's promised, where it comes next, how it almost gets wiped out, but God watches over it.
Christ.
And brings it forth and brings it forth until there's a little Mary in the earth.
Wow.
And, of course,
little
the promised
Mary.
Seed comes. Now,
praise God.
We go over into the time of the judges. And in the time of the judges, we have Deborah. Deborah. I love her name. They say it translates to be, but devor or devar is word. Mm-hmm. And so her name is really like the word of God. And now Deborah, this is from Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 4. Deborah was a prophetess, and she judged Israel at that time. And she judged, she sat for her judgeship out under a palm tree, and the people came to her. And but during her time of judgeship, there was a really bad thing that was happening to Israel. And 6, she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Yavin's army, with his chariots and with his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said, "I won't go to this battle because this guy had iron chariots. I won't go unless you go with me." So Deborah went with him, and they went out and they defeated this enemy. And at the end, Sisera, who is the head of that army with all the iron chariots, the Syrian army, he escapes, and he comes by a tent where a woman is inside named Yael. And he goes into her, and he says, she was of Heber, the Kenite, and he had some good relationship with the Kenites, so he thought he could get help. He goes in and asks for water. She says, "I'll give you some milk." And she gives him some milk, and she covers him up. And he's so fallen asleep from the battle, he just conks out. And she takes a tent peg and drives it right through his temple and kills him.
That wasn't very hospitable.
Well, no, it wasn't. But he had been causing lots of trouble for Israel.
Wow.
And so God, it tells us in the next chapter that the people couldn't even go on the highways. In chapter 5, verse 6, Deborah sings a song. It's a prophetic song. And she said, "In the days of Yael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked byways until I," verse 7, "Deborah arose, and I arose, a mother in Israel." What he had been doing, he had been so coming against the people that they were afraid even to walk outside on the roads. Mm-hmm. So God told Deborah, "Get Barak, get an army, Barak." And it's kind of funny. And God even called the stars of heaven in verse 20 to fight against Sisera. But the mother of Sisera, when you go back down to verse 28, the mother of Sisera, she's the mother of the bad guy. He doesn't come in, and he doesn't come in, and he doesn't come in. And he's the one that's been winning all the battles, and he's got the iron chariots, and he doesn't come home, and he doesn't come home. So the mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Her wise ladies answered her, yes. And she returned answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two? So he said, oh, they're just dividing the prey. And every man's getting a damsel or two. So that was Sisera's way. He would capture the women. He would use the women. So God used the women to defeat him. So it's not true and it's not right what those people that wrote that letter to Paul said. Why, don't you know it's commanded right here in the Word that they can't even speak? I guess they can speak. I guess they, and she gave a wonderful, wonderful prophetic word out to, so they did speak all kinds of instances in the Old Testament where they did speak. Tamar and Deborah, and one of my favorite ones is Hannah. And if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah, oh, it's a good thing she spoke, because her words brought in someone very, very special. So we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Israel's in a bad way. Eli, we say, their high priest, his sons are wicked, and he's getting to be very, very old. And there's no one to judge Israel. There's no one, no prophet for Israel. So God put a desire in a woman for a child. And this woman's name was Hannah. And she was childless. Her husband had another wife named Peninnah. And every year they would go up to Shiloh. And she would weep and cry because she didn't have a child. And so she was there at Shiloh. That's where Shiloh then was the tabernacle. And that's where the Shekinah glory was. And she was up there and she was praying. And it says she vowed a vow. She was praying continually before the Lord. And she vowed a vow in verse 11. Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord of hosts, that's Yahweh Sabaoth. That's the Lord God of armies, Jehovah of armies. She's the first person that ever used that name. If you will look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a child, then I will give him, a man child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And it came to pass as she continued praying, only her mouth was moved. Verse 13, Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And then Eli, the high priest, he saw her, and he said, how long are you going to be drunk? And she said, I'm not drunk, but I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. And so he said to her, go in peace, verse 17, and the God of Israel will grant you your petition. And she had a son. She had a baby. His name was Shmuel. The Lord has heard. Samuel, we say. And so she brought the child when it was weaning time. She brought him back, kept her vow to God, and brought him up to serve Eli in the temple and be brought up there and in the tabernacle. And then in chapter 2, she prays and prophesies. This is one of the most beautiful, highly regarded prophecies of all the Old Testament. So Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. She goes on with her prophetic prayer. And in verse 5, she says at the end of the verse, the barren hath borne seven. The barren, she's the barren, hath borne seven. Now she goes on with this wonderful prophecy. And after the prophecy, the Bible lists her children down in verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bore three sons, that's three, and two daughters, that's five, and the child Samuel, that's six. But the prophecy says she bore seven. Who was the seventh? Go back up into the prophetic prayer to verse 10. The adversaries of Jehovah shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Jehovah shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. His anointed is the Mashiach, the Messiah. She's the first one to ever mention there's going to be a Mashiach. And in the Hebrew, that's what it says. It says Mashiach. We say Christ, the Anointed One, but in the Hebrew, it's His Mashiach. And He's not only a Mashiach, He's not only an Anointed One, He's a King, the King Messiah. When the Jews talk about His coming, they call Him the King Messiah. He is the King Messiah. He is the Melech Mashiach, and she birthed Him. Her prayers birthed Him. So it was good that she didn't keep silent. It was good that she prayed and said exactly what God wanted her to say and then prophesied it. And here we have another prophecy in the Old Testament of the coming seed. And this prophetic birthing that came to Him and He was birthed came through Hannah, a woman. If we had time, we would look through so many women. What about Esther? Such a time as this, you've come to the kingdom. And the Bible literally says, where it says in our King James, she donned royal and went to the king. It means she donned her royal place, and the Hebrews translate it, she put on the Holy Spirit. She put on the Holy Spirit, and she went before the king, and God gave her the plan.
She
put on the Holy Spirit, and God gave her the plan to save Israel. Does He use women? I guess He does. He used her to put a wicked Haman on the gallows that he had designed to hang Mordecai. And Gloria, if we had time, which we don't, we could go over and see that she also asked, after Haman and all his sons are killed, she also asked, what more do you want? The king says, I want the sons to be killed again. And she names the 10 sons. And in there is a divine code of what happened at the end of the war, when the 10 people were hanged and after the trial. So God has used Ruth. He has used Naomi. He has used so many women in the Old Testament. And there's even a prophecy in Psalm chapter 68:11 that at the end, I may read this later on, that at the end He is going to bring forth a great army of women who are going to bring forth the Word. We'll talk about that later.
That's good, Billy. Hallelujah. Billy, and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.